Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Welcome back into Sports Talk Chicago right here on WLS AM 890. I am Joey Christopoulos. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. If you want to follow us on socials, you can follow us at Sports Talk Chi, C-H-I. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, our week three keys to the Chicago Bears versus the Indianapolis Colts. A little background on the Indianapolis Colts. They're 0-2 right now. So they're heading into this game. If they go to 0-3, there's a lot of historical numbers that it's hard to make the playoffs at 0-2, let alone 0-3. I mean, this one is a must-have for the Indianapolis Colts. They're going to give you everything that they got in this game. Keep in mind as well, in week one, the Indianapolis Colts played the Houston Texans very tough. Now, granted, it came off of an incredible 75-yard pass from their quarterback, Anthony Richardson, to stay in the game. But again, they put 27 points on the Houston Texans. They lost that game 29-27, division rival. But again, just because they're 0-2, and I'm going to walk through some of the weaknesses of the Indianapolis Colts, this is not going to be an easy game for the Chicago Bears, especially with the way that they've been playing through the first 2 weeks of the season. So here are my keys to the Chicago Bears win versus the Indianapolis Colts in week three. The first one is the obvious one. Run the football. We were excited heading into the season. We wanted to see Caleb Williams air it out. We wanted to see him tossing passes to Cole Kmet and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Rome Odunze. But some good medicine right now for a rookie quarterback would be to run the football, get that game established. Also, when we talk about the offensive line, which I just went over in our first segment, nothing better that builds continuity and confidence like getting that run game going. And what a better opponent than the Indianapolis Colts in week three. If you haven't been following the trades, the Indianapolis Colts, through the first two games this season, they've allowed 237 rushing yards a game so far this year. Green Bay Packers just a week ago ran the ball 53 times on them with Malik Willis, their backup quarterback. They put up over 260 rushing yards. They won the game 16-10. Whatever it takes. Through the first two games, opponents have run the football in the Indianapolis Colts 93 times. For comparison, the Chicago Bears, through two games, have only run the ball 44 times. So in this situation, the Chicago Bears, if they want to walk out of this game with a W, in my opinion, by the end of this game on Sunday, the Chicago Bears, through three games, need to have a 7 in front of their number in terms of carries with their running backs. That means at least 26 in this game. I don't even care who it is. It would be great if Roschon Johnson could get on the field because I think this is a perfect matchup for him. And he is a little bit of the antidote that we need in that backfield right now. I get it. Second year running back. He's not going to cure all of our ills. But Roschon Johnson runs between the tackles. Roschon Johnson punishes opposing players on first contact. Roschon Johnson makes you think twice before you want to stick your nose in the box. And the Chicago Bears right now, they just lack an edge. When we talk about poor offensive line play, the first thing that you go to if you're an opponent is that they don't have that nasty streak, that edge, that will. And it comes down to maybe a little bit of toughness. I don't question the players on their toughness, but it's just the perception of when you don't have results on the field. Especially with the way the Chicago Bears have run the football for the first 2 weeks, they got to get a little bit of that nasty going again in this game. Some more stats from the Indianapolis Colts in their run game so far. The Colts have allowed 1.78 yards per before contact. So almost 2 yards before a running back is even touched. That's good news for DeAndre Swift. That's great news for Khalil Herbert. through 2 weeks already, they've allowed 15 plays of 10-plus rushing yards. I guarantee you I can count on one hand, and I won't get through the full hand with the Chicago Bears and run plays of over 10 yards. This is a mandate. This is a must. They have to make this happen. Even on the better side, Indianapolis Colts might be down a few players. They're already going to be down their best player, DeForest Buckner. If you're not familiar with DeForest Buckner, he's one of the best pass rushers in the game. When Matt Eberflus came over from Chicago, I think a lot of the rumors on all the blog sites for the Chicago Bears was, could the Chicago Bears go after DeForest Buckner as that pass rushing threat that we so desperately needed? We ended up doing Montez Sweat, but man, he is a great player. He will not be in the game. In terms of this taping right now, their rookie, their first-round pick for the Colts, Laiatu Latu, also not practicing with a hip. So a unit that already has been struggling is losing players and is going to have other guys step up. I mean, this is tailor-made for the Chicago Bears to run the football and run it successfully. And when you do run that football successfully, you got to hope that it takes a little bit of pressure off of Caleb Williams. And then hopefully then some of the accuracy improves from there. You really have to figure out different ways to set Caleb up for success, because as we're learning with a rookie quarterback, he's not necessarily going to do it all himself. And even the greats that come into the NFL, they're not ready made. And you can tell that it's taking some time, and there's a steep learning curve right now with Caleb Williams. So I think if the Chicago Bears run the football, if they run it 26-plus times, and I would hope and think that, look, I'm not saying they have to get to 237 in this game, but I do think the Chicago Bears have to get to that 150, 160 mark. It's going to help with time of possession. It's going to help with their play action. It's going to help engender some confidence in an offensive line that has really, really struggled for the first 2 weeks. And it's going to help your rookie quarterback, hopefully with his accuracy and making some plays out there. My other key to the game is, we've talked a lot on this show and throughout Chicago, I'm sure you can't get away from this conversation about Caleb Williams. Rookie quarterback, up or down, yay or nay, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways. Well, my second key to this game is, let's turn the tables a little bit on this rookie conversation, because the Indianapolis Colts are basically also starting a rookie out there. Of course, Anthony Richardson was drafted last year, played a couple of games, got injured, wasn't able to come back. These are two young quarterbacks on the field. Anthony Richardson is only making his seventh start in the NFL. He's only 1 month ahead of Caleb Williams. And we've seen some of the highlights from Anthony Richardson, and man, he is impressive. He is tall, he is fast, he is strong, he has a great arm. But the results, much like our quarterback, have been wildly mixed through 2 weeks, and they're currently 0-2. They only put 10 points up on the Green Bay Packers. He threw 3 interceptions last week. They were able to hang around with the Houston Texans, but again, as I mentioned before, a beautiful, amazing 75-yard touchdown that not many other players in the NFL can throw or complete that pass. Anthony Richardson did. That helped them stay in the game. Otherwise, he also threw an interception. He's got 4 interceptions through 2 games. His completion percentage right now is 49%. These are two young quarterbacks. In terms of learning curves, they're both on them right now. They're both on the learning curve surfboard of learning what it takes to be a successful NFL quarterback. Anthony Richardson, Caleb Williams, they're almost the same type of player. So whatever concern or frustration, disappointment, whatever that you may be feeling that is making you feel a little uneasy about Caleb Williams through 2 games, which, look, he has not played well. It's fair to feel that way. I have a longer look on this. I think that everything's going to be fine in this process. When you deal with growing pains and when you actually have to witness them, it hurts at times. But all those things that you're feeling right now about Caleb Williams, imagine what the Indianapolis Colts are feeling about Anthony Richardson right now. Because in many ways, sure, he's got more passing yards. Sure, he has a touchdown on his ledger right now. Caleb Williams does not. In many different metrics, Anthony Richardson's numbers are worse than Caleb Williams right now. So it comes down to the main question. Fundamental, rudimentary, tale as old as time. Who has the better defense on Sunday? And I am going to unequivocally say it is going to be the Chicago Bears. Four interceptions in two games versus this secondary? Give me some of that. They have a good offensive line. It's pretty decent. They are going to have to stop the run with Jonathan Taylor. My big thing is, one, can you continue to cause turnovers with your defense? We've done a good job of that so far. Even in that Texas game, we were able to get a fumble late that at least gave us an opportunity to hopefully take the lead in that game. It was never going to happen, but the opportunity was still there. Can you still create these turnovers on the road? And can you get into Anthony Richardson's grill a little bit and make him make some mistakes? I think the biggest key for the Chicago Bears defense is going to be that edge contain. Because Anthony Richardson can run it. So I do see scenarios where they can get the Chicago Bears defense can be in advantageous downs. Third and nine, third and 10, make Anthony Richardson throw it. But man, the linebackers who have played so well so far this season, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, even Jack Sanborn on that first play last week, tipping that pass. The linebackers have played great. You got to keep your eyes, whoever they want spying on Anthony Richardson, you got to keep your eyes on him. And you got to keep them from getting flushed out of the pocket or even stepping up and picking up some needless first downs, giving them confidence and extending drives. Because Anthony Richardson's throwing prowess, he's got a great arm, but the decision-making's got a long road. That versus our Bears secondary, I love that matchup. Of all the things, when you match them up on paper, that's probably the most lopsided one on the board, and it gives the Chicago Bears the best chance at pulling out a victory, is our Bears secondary versus Anthony Richardson in his seventh NFL start. Still trying to figure it out, but at this time right now, throwing turnovers. Completion percentage not there. We've actually heard this, if you follow the trades, through training camp. There were some reports from Indianapolis Colts insiders and reporters of some really, really, really rough days for Anthony Richardson at camp. Incompletions, inaccuracy, turnovers. And he has all the physical traits to be a dynamic plus quarterback in the NFL. It's just not happening right now in this moment. So the Chicago Bears in this present moment need to take advantage of that to the best of their ability. And I would say right now, to be very fair, if you were to say who has the better quarterback on the field, it's a net wash for me, and I still would probably give Caleb the edge just very slightly. I say that knowing that he's had accuracy issues, but I know that the accuracy is in there. With Anthony Richardson, even going back to college, they weren't 100% sure that he could be accurate on a normal basis. He's not shown it at the NFL level, and the turnovers have been evidence of that. Two young quarterbacks in this game, and even the way that Caleb Williams has played so poorly through the first 2 weeks, it's either a dead heat race or I give him the edge in that matchup. And the Chicago Bears defense, I give them a decided matchup over that Colts offense at this time. I like matching up Jalen Johnson versus their best receiver, Michael Pittman. I love Tyreek Stevenson going up to Alec Pierce. Tyreek Stevenson last week, man oh man, after the first week heroics, he gets that pick six. There were some shades of what happened to him last year. And you're already seeing it. Teams are not going to go at Jalen Johnson. They're just not interested. They are going to try and hit Tyreek Stevenson as often as they can and just chip away at him. And you know what? Tyreek Stevenson, to his credit, he fought as hard as he could. Man, he was getting burned pretty good by Nico Collins early in that game and was able to tighten it up just a little bit as things go along. Is that going to be the direction that the Colts are going to go in? And if that's the case, I do like Tyreek Stevenson in this game to come up with a big play. My final key to the game, and I'm just going to go with key player in this game. Or actually, you know, before I do key player, my next key for the Chicago Bears against the Houston Texans is I just want to see us play a little bit cleaner football. I've applauded Caleb Williams in the preseason about how the operation looked for the most part pretty clean in and out of the huddle. But things have cropped up at times that have frustrated me as a Bears fan. Maybe I'm yelling at the TV a little bit on some of this stuff. You know, the first one in week one, I thought the operation was pretty decent. There was a couple of pre-snap penalties that weren't great. We also know and saw with our own eyes Caleb Williams wanting to play more up-tempo at times, trying to get the play call in as fast as he could. And for whatever reason, either the communication or Shane Waldron was a little slow trying to get it in. This last week in week two, we did see a delay of game, which I mentioned in the first segment, off of a timeout. That can't happen. And when we talk about clean operation, this isn't just a Caleb Williams thing. This is a coaching staff thing with Matt Eberflus. I cannot impress upon you enough that if you were going to challenge a play in the second half and put one of those timeouts up to risk, man, you better be sure. You better be almost 96, 97% sure. In my opinion, everyone in the bar that I watched the game with, Kyler Gordon, that was an incompletion. I get it. You can play the debate in the argument that if he had caught it, it's worth looking at because it's such a huge play. It would have switched the field. It would have given the Bears a shot. Listen to me. You have to be so sure on those challenges in the second half. I'm going to let you in on a little something personal about me. I deeply value those second half timeouts. You have the opportunity to stop the clock four times, the two-minute warning, and those three timeouts. If you're trying to chase a lead, if you want to give your quarterback a reasonable opportunity to come back into a game, which we needed against the Houston Texans, we needed that timeout. We needed those four stoppages. At some point when you're losing in a game, it just turns into math. Because the amount that's going to be on the play clock, the amount of plays that the opposition can run, and then the comfort level of how many plays you can run if you get the ball back with an opportunity to either tie or win the game. You need those timeouts. That's why in the second half, you got to run a clean operation. You got to be on it. And I'm looking out. I'm looking also at you, offensive line. Too many pre-snap false starts. They're going to be on the road again. It's going to be indoors. Will the crowd be as loud or as raucous as probably the Texans would be? I have my doubts. But at the same time, control what you can control and get out there and play a clean operation. And for God's sakes, Matt Eberflus, you better be sure if you're going to challenge a play in the second half that it is worth the challenge flag that you're throwing. Those timeouts are real currency to me. They mean a lot. And when you're trying to come back into a game or when you're trying to steal a game, man, those stoppages of time, that is just math that you need on your side. That Kyler Gordon pass, everyone can see it. He didn't get his fingers underneath it. The ball hit the ground. What are we looking at? What are we doing? Close but no cigar. Thanks for coming. It would have been great if it had happened. It didn't happen. So you just move on. You protect your timeout. It's more worth it to protect your timeout than to roll the dice and buy a lottery ticket on something that I think we all know, even the casual fans at home watching knew that was an incomplete. So let's play a clean operation there to the best of our ability. I mean, we got lucky last week. The Texans, I believe, had a dozen penalties. We were doing the best we could to keep pace with that. But we got to try and cut that stuff down a little bit. And if we do, I think if we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, we will shoot ourselves in the foot. We will give ourselves more opportunities to score some points. So I got stop the run. I got our secondary versus the Colts quarterback. I got clean operation. Let's go with no penalties if possible or minimize that if we can. Let's go to my key player, the X factor, if you will, against the Chicago Bears versus the Houston Texans. And I think the easy one would go back to my first key and say something along the lines of, we need DeAndre Swift to show up, we need Khalil Herbert, we need Roschon Johnson. In my opinion, I'm not going that way because I think any of them can get the job done. And I do think a village can easily rack up 160 yards in this Colts run defense. So It doesn't have to be one particular guy or bust. If it isn't DeAndre Swift, I like Khalil Herbert having a good game in this one. If it isn't Khalil Herbert, I do like Roschon Johnson getting some carries and hopefully picking up some first down yards for this team. And then, of course, DeAndre Swift. We paid this dude some money. We moved on from David Montgomery 2 years ago, which honestly is the day he moves on. Looks like probably a mistake. Because at least the dude didn't have top-end speed, but at least he would punish somebody. We seem a little too finesse in the run game. And I'm trying to be very open-minded about it moving forward. Because I think the Chicago Bears way, the philosophy, the way that we've been trained as a Bears fan, is that gritty ground and pound. And then the guy that can truck you. You know, going all the way back to, you know, Neil Anderson was a strong physical running back. Ramon Harris, strong physical running back. We did have Rashawn Salaam, but that didn't last very long, right? We tried Anthony Thomas. We brought in Thomas Jones. Thomas Jones, punisher, but still we went for Cedric Benson, who thought he could run over the world. You know, on and on and on. And I'm hoping that DeAndre Swift's a little bit more in that Matt Forte mold, and we can deploy him like that. I hope we get back to that. But right now it's a very finesse run game back there. So I'm not going with them as my key player. My key player in this game is going to be rookie wide receiver Rome Odunze. I'm just feeling like it's getting close between him and Caleb. Anyone who plays fantasy football, and if you don't, I will explain it to you. Historically, the idea is if you want to draft a rookie wide receiver, go for it. But you also must keep in mind that you will probably not be able to use him in your lineups for the first 3-4 weeks of the season, at least. When it comes to rookie wide receivers, when it comes to rookie tight ends especially because they have to earn their keep, rookie wide receivers, there is an adjustment period. That happens. And it's so funny, too, right? Because a lot of people right now are probably having their kicks, giving Caleb a hard time. And I'm trying to explain that there's a learning curve that goes into everything. And we're giving Caleb a hard time, but Rome Odunze is the number 9 pick in the draft, and he doesn't have too much to show for it. I think he's got 2 catches right now. One of them was a fluke. I'm not here to get on a soapbox and start giving him a hard time, but I am saying that I think that it's really close with Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams. When you look at the tape, Rome Odunze is finding separation. There are moments when Rome Odunze is getting open. There are moments when Rome Odunze is acting like a rookie and not running exactly the right route when it dictates the feel of it all. For example, he's running a vertical when honestly he should probably be feeling something back shoulder or coming back to Caleb. He doesn't do it. He keeps going. You saw that incompletion there. So Rome Odunze, I'm not saying he gets you 200 yards, but I am saying Rome Odunze can come down with some real catches in this game. Maybe he finds the end zone. Maybe Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze get their first touchdowns together. They can cut that football in half if they want to and share it for the rest of their lives. But I think that he needs to show up in this game. I'm not worried about DJ Moore. He's always going to be there. Keenan Allen, we'll see if he plays. The run game, we've gone over it. I think this X factor. Last week I said Cole Kmet needed 80 yards. Didn't even get close. Guess what? We lost the game. I'm not saying that's the only reason why, but I am telling you that if Rome Odunze has a strong game, and that, I'm just saying 60 to 70 yards, maybe give me a touchdown, I think the Chicago Bears are going to lock this one up. So I'm going Rome Odunze for my key player of the game. As in terms of final score, man, I've gone back and forth on this one a lot. I do not have confidence that the Chicago Bears are just going to shake out of this and blow the doors off some people. I still think this is a work in progress. But I am going to cling to the fact that the way it looked week one offensively, the way that it did progress, now did it provide results that are satisfactory? No. But I am going to say that it provided progress. Week 3, I think we make another incremental step forward, and I'm going to say the Chicago Bears are going to win 23-16 over the Indianapolis Colts. I'm thinking 2 touchdowns, 3 field goals. I'm thinking the Chicago Bears hold them to 1 touchdown, also get 3 field goals. I think right now both teams might be able to move the ball, maybe an execution issue in the red zone, but I am going to go the Chicago Bears winning 23-16. I'm 2-0 in my picks so far this year, so we'll see what happens. I think the Chicago Bears pick up a win, and if they do, they can come home happy and ready to roll for the Los Angeles Rams in Week 4, a team that is decimated by injuries, and maybe they can take even another step forward after that. But I got the Chicago Bears winning 23-16. That's going to do it here on Sports Talk Chicago, right here on WLS AM 890. Thank you so much for tuning in on your Saturday night. I greatly appreciate it. My name is Joey Christopoulos. You can check us out every single Saturday right here on WLS AM 890. Have a wonderful weekend. Go Bears. Go Chicago sports. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the listen. We will be back next week.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.